I'm thankful that when we ask that question that Alicia sang, is anything too hard for God, that we can answer it with the song Matt sang, My Redeemer is faithful and true. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? He is faithful. We serve a faithful God this morning. Acts chapter number 16. We having some issues here? We all right? Acts chapter number 16, verse number 6 this morning. Acts 16, verse number 6. And we're going to work through some verses this morning. And let's talk for a little bit this morning. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 6. The Word of God says this: Now that when they had gone through Phrygia and region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. But, notice these words, the Spirit suffered them not. Verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the same night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering to the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Look at verse number 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken by Paul. She was baptized in her household. She besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's pray this morning. We'll jump right in. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are faithful and true. Lord, we thank you for that precious blood that we've been able to sing about this morning. God, that blood that's been applied to our account. Lord, we thank you for justifying us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for saving us, for imputing your righteousness to us. Lord, I pray this morning as we look at this text and we look at being obedient to your Spirit, and we look at being a witness for you. God, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. God, I pray maybe some of us have been churched for a long time who maybe have lost a little bit of our focus and lost a little bit of our purpose, or will be reminded of what it is this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that you would do in our minds and hearts this morning what only you can do. Lord, bless us, bless our time together. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. From Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road to his imminent death, his life was no doubt one that made a huge impact on this world. It's amazing what God can do through a person that is totally surrendered to him. A person that is surrendered to the Word of God, and a person that is surrendered to the Spirit of God, the will of God. Paul saw missionary journeys with scores of people saved. Paul saw missionary journeys with many churches planted, God's people encouraged, revival breaking out, lives being changed. Paul lived a life of total surrender to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. So we've seen and we'll continue to see this was not always an easy road. And how many of y'all figured out this Christian life ain't always easy? Wasn't easy for Paul, but he continued. He was faithful. He remained obedient, and it ended up seeing fruit. I think that's what all of us want to see in our life. If we have any desire to serve the Lord at all, we want to see fruit in our lives. Paul was a man who saw God's fruit in his life. Once again, in our text this morning, God used Paul to reach two individuals. Of course, Lydia, as we're going to see, and then that demon-possessed girl, which we're going to see next week. But God used a man who was surrendered to the Spirit and the leading of God to make a difference in the life of someone else. I mean, we all want to see that, I think. But I just want to talk to us this morning. I think if I were to ask, I don't think that we are all seeing that. I don't think we're all seeing fruit. You say, preacher, what do you mean by seeing fruit? I mean, this is what I mean. Disciples making other disciples. That's what disciples do. Disciples and followers of Jesus seeing someone else come to the Lord because of our lives, because of our obedience to the Spirit. See, in the day we live in 2021, we've become professional Christians, especially in North Carolina. You can go any night of the week within 30 miles from here and there's a church service somewhere. There's a revival service. is preaching. They're singing. There's stuff going on. But I'm not so sure we're seeing God do a great work. I think we're good at gathering. Hundreds of churches within an hour from here, right now, are going to gather. They're going to sing. They're going to hear the Word of God preached. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're seeing fruit in our lives. People come into the Lord. And what I want to challenge us with this morning, and this is what I'm afraid of, the more I'm in churches, the more I preach, I see a lot of us, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, a lot of us have been in church for a long time, and the songs don't move us like they once did. It's a scary place to be, honestly, if you're here this morning. We sit in church week after week, we'll hear songs about the blood, and it's just, oh, it's just another church service. Man, we'll sit and we'll hear the preaching of the Lord. We'll sing songs about, is anything too hard for God? We'll sing it. My Redeemer, He's faithful and true. We'll sing it. But what makes a difference is, what do we do with that? You see, Paul, throughout his life, never forgot what happened to him on that Damascus Road. I wonder if any of us have forgotten about this morning. As we get into this morning, here's the first question I just want to ask you. We're going to work through this text this morning. In your life right now, who's the last person that you share Jesus with personally? Who's the last person that you told, God loves you, man. God wants to forgive you. God wants to save you. We've all sung about it all morning. But I just want to challenge you today. Who's the last person that you shared God's love with? I want you to notice, first of all, in verses 6 through 10 this morning, Paul's obedience to the leading of the Lord. Paul's obedience to the leading of the Lord. Look at verse number 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and notice these words, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. It implies here that Paul had a desire to preach the gospel in Asia. Now, that's not the Asia that we're thinking of. This would be more like modern day Turkey. But Paul had an idea. He had a heart to go there and preach. But it says here, the Spirit had another plan for him. Paul desired to do a good thing, to preach the gospel there. However, God had some other plans. God was leading him in another direction. His Spirit was leading in another direction. Look at verse number 7. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but, notice the words, the Spirit suffered them not. Once again, God's Spirit was leading Paul to do something different than was in Paul's heart. Now, we understand at salvation, those of us that are saved, we've been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. He does a lot of work in our lives, and I'm thankful this morning for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just not an emotion. It's a person. It's His Spirit residing in us. It's that thing inside of us when you're singing songs sometimes that you feel kind of knocking on your heart, that you feel in your mind. When you hear preaching sometimes, that conviction that you feel. Man, that's the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful to say this morning that the Holy Spirit is our converter. He converts us. Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that Spirit that dwelleth in you. He's our converter. Not only is He our converter, and listen, every one of us that are saved, we have the Holy Spirit. He is our counselor. Listen, He teaches us. John 14, verse number 26 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send me, He shall teach you all things. So He's our converter. He's our counselor. I love this. He is our companion that leads us. Man, are we following the Holy Spirit? Romans 8:14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 5:18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Listen, Paul, over and over in his ministry, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to him, and he had a choice, don't miss this, to either obey or to disobey. So He's our comfort. Listen, he is our converter. He is our counselor. He leads us. He is our companion. He is our corrector. Man, He is our corrector that convicts us. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means, listen, when you're sitting in a service or when you're reading the Word of God and you feel that presence of God telling you, hey, this needs to change. You need to do something about this. You need to fault. Listen, that is His conviction. That is, and by the way, conviction is something to be thankful for. If you haven't felt it in a long time, I would maybe step back for a minute because, listen, God's Word is convicting. The Holy Spirit is convicting. He convicts us. John 16, 7 and 8 says this. Christ said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. Listen, He convicts us. But I love this one. He is our Comforter. Aren't you thankful for the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God? John 14, verse number 16 says this, and I will pray the Father, and He will send you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Hey, there's times in our lives where, yes, the Spirit does convert us, and the Spirit does counsel us, and the Spirit does change us and lead us and convict us. But I'm thankful this morning that He comforts us. There's times where when no one else can comfort us, there's times that He's the only one that can comfort us. We should be thankful for that this morning. But listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 20 says we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And maybe we'll preach on that at some point, but it has to do with the way that we talk and the way that we treat other people. And if we have bitterness and all that, that can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can also resist the Holy Spirit of God. When God is trying to lead us to do something, we have a choice to obey. We are not robots. He does not force us to do what He wants us to do. He simply presents it, and Paul here had a choice either to go to Asia or to go where God was leading him. You know, God leads us so often. And when God leads us and when God speaks to us, we have a choice either to go to Asia where we want to go or to follow God where He wants us to go. You can ignore the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. And I just say this morning, that's one of the biggest problems within the church of God. God's conviction comes in our hearts, and we sit there and hold onto our seat, and we leave it here and never let it do anything in our lives. Man, we can resist it. We can reject it. But you know what Paul does here? Paul is obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Let me say this morning, when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit of God, great things happen in our lives. Look at verse number 17, verse number 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So he ends up in Troas. And let me just say this, a lesson learned throughout life is our way, even though it may seem good, may not be God's way or God's plan. Listen. God has given us His Word and the Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, and to teach us. Our plans for our destination may be Asia, but God's plan, as it is here, may be Philippi. God opens a door, listen to me, that no man can open, and He closes doors that no man can close. We must be sensitive to be obedient to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We must not barge through a door that God has not opened. But we must not try to force His will. In verses 9 through 10, we're going to see here what many have called the Macedonian call. Look at verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul receives a vision here from the Lord. We don't know exactly how it came, but we know that it was a message from God to go to Macedonia. Look how he responds in verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, after the Spirit had talked to him, look what he did. Immediately, he responds to the leading of the Lord by obeying the call. God sends him a vision. Listen, he obeys. God calls, Paul obeys. There is a call, there is obedience. Paul is called, and Paul obeys. I want you to notice in verses 11 through 15 this, the fruit of obedience. The fruit of obedience. Look at verse number 11. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So they head basically from Asia to Europe. It would have been a five-day sailing voyage. So Philippi is where he ends up. This is a leading city in Macedonia. It's one that Paul would end up ministering and seeing some great things done. Verse number 13, Paul and his team begin to minister to some women from the region. Look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside. By the way, this is interesting because typically, as we've seen all through the book of Acts, on the Sabbath, they would go into the synagogue. It almost implies here that there wasn't enough Jewish men in town or followers to have a synagogue. So they go somewhere where they can have church. They go by the river, and notice what happens. They sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So remember, God's Spirit is the one leading them here. It's not Paul. Paul wanted to go somewhere else. God specifically brought them here for an appointed place, for an appointed time, because he had an appointed reason. Look at verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia. So there's a specific woman here. There's a certain woman. There's a woman that God brings in his path. Can I just say this? God brings people in our paths every single day. There's a certain woman, Lydia, here that is brought into her past. It says here she was a seller of purple. Man, it was an expensive type of linen, if you will. She was probably some sort of successful businesswoman. She was from Thyatira. That's one of the places, Revelation chapter number 2, one of the churches, the church of Thyatira. She's from Thyatira. Notice these words in verse number 14. The Lord, you see this? Opened her heart. This is an important phrase here in our text. It was not Paul that opened her heart. It was the Lord that opened her heart. Let me say this. John 6:44 says this, and some of us don't believe this, but I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. No one can't come unto me unless the Father, are y'all hearing this? Who sent me draws him. Okay, so you ain't getting saved unless God's drawing you. That's just what the Bible teaches this morning. That's just what it says. There's got to be a drawing of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this morning. There's a whole lot of people that have given some cheap sales pitch to people, got them to repeat some prayer, and they're no more saved than my dog Sadie's saved. And we know she ain't saved. Somebody help me, kept me up all night. For a person to be saved, listen, there has to be a supernatural work happen in their life. The Spirit of God and the Word of God colliding together. That's the reason, by the way, so many people get saved by the grace of God and there's no change in their life because they were never saved. Because if you're saved, the Spirit of God indwells you. Let me just say this. I don't buy it for one second that somebody's saved and nothing happens in their life. Man, we still struggle with sin. I do every day. I still fail every day. I still have problems every day. But can I just say this morning? There's conviction and the Holy Spirit is all over me. I can't sleep at night when I'm struggling. You know why? Because I've been saved. Man, there's some things that change. We've been given the Spirit of God. Listen, here's the thing. We are to preach the gospel, but you can't change somebody's heart and I can't change somebody's heart. True change can only come not from a preacher, not from a man, but from God. Now we don't neglect human responsibility, as we're going to see here in just a minute in our text. It's a huge part of it. But God must be at work. You can't force the gospel. God opens the heart. God draws. It's our job to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, but it must be God that changes the heart. I watched my entire Christian life. People come to church and do something just because a preacher said it. Once the preacher's gone, everything changes. You see, when God gets a hold of us, when God changes us, it's an eternal change. It's a real change. It's not a men-pleasing change. Man, when God changes us, oh, it's a supernatural change. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 6. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I've planted, that's our job. Apollos watered, that's our job. But guess who gives the increase? It's not you. It's not me. It's God. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Listen, you and I don't save anybody. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, Pastor Colin saved me. Well, you're on your way to hell this morning. No preacher can save you. I can't save you. No person can save you. There's only one that can save you this morning. You know who it is? It's God. That's it. We do not save anyone. We simply share God saves. We are commanded to preach the gospel, but God is the one who draws. God is the one who opens hearts. God is the one that saves. God is the one this morning that changed your life and changed my life. It wasn't some person. It wasn't us. We are simply to obey. God produces the fruit. Now listen, there is a call and a command to preach the gospel. That's our job, to be obedient to that call. Fruit is not forced. You can't force somebody into getting saved. You can't talk somebody into getting saved. I used to sit in classes. Well, this is what you say right here if they say this. You got to convince them here. You got to. Now, listen, we need to be studied. We need to know. But can I just tell you, if God wants to save that person, he can use a donkey like he did in the Old Testament. Somebody help me. He can speak through any of us. Listen, we don't have to talk them into it. We don't got to. Listen, it simply starts with obedience to the call, followed by fruit from God. Look what happens in verse number 15. She ends up getting baptized. And when she was baptized, that public profession, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She follows the Lord in baptism, a public profession of an inward profession. So what we've seen here, just simply, I'm going to give you a couple things practically, and we got to get out of here. It's already 9:48 this morning. Paul had a place he wanted to go. God said, I want you to go somewhere else. So Paul has a call from God to go somewhere. That call was followed by Paul's obedience, which was followed by fruit. We have all been called by God. This isn't something up for discussion. Witnessing ain't no spiritual gift. It's something all of us are supposed to be doing. Sharing the gospel is what disciples and what believers do. So Paul had a call. He had the choice to obey or go where he wanted. What did he do? He obeyed. And what's he end up seeing? He ends up seeing fruit in his life. I want to give you three things to take away this morning, take home with you. Number one, we must be obedient to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. God's call, the Spirit's leading. And let me say this, the Word of God and the Spirit of God always agree. God's not going to lead you to do something that contradicts His Word. So let me just tell you something all of us have been called to do in this room. If you are saved this morning, you have been called to be a witness. Okay? You are called to share the gospel. And I'm not trying to be hard on you this morning, but listen to me. You're either obedient to that call or you're disobedient. There's no in between. You're either sharing the gospel or you're not. Okay? So we've been called to share the gospel. So are you obeying that call? That's the challenge. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19 says this, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if I go fishing, if I go fishing, I can't make that fish get on that hook. I wish I could, Brother Jason. We'd win some money. Amen. I can't make it. What do I have to do? Man, I get that shaky head and I throw it out there. Or I get that crankbait and I throw it out there. And my job when I'm fishing is what? Just to find the spot, go to the right place, and just to throw the bait out there. Man, as we are fishing for men, our job is just to simply share. I can't force a fish to get on my hook. I just got to get out there and throw the line. Some of us need to, number one, some of us need to get our line back in the water this morning. Man, some of us need to get back when we're throwing out the gospel to someone and saying, listen, I want to tell you about somebody that forgave me and loved me and redeemed me and gave me eternal life. Has it been a long time since you've done that? Man, we're all called to do that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Listen. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in with you, with meekness and fear. Man, we ought to be ready to have those gospel conversations. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, and he said unto them, go unto ye all the world, preach the gospel. Romans 10:15, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what you are. A preacher of the gospel. How shall they preach except they be sent? And we've all been sent. And it is written, how beautiful are they that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good cheer. God has called each one of us in this room to share the gospel with people, to have gospel conversations, to point others to the Lord. God opens the heart. We cannot force people to accept it. God gives the increase. Our call is simply to share it, to preach it. God does the saving. Here's the question. We all have a voice for something. We all have a voice for something. I wonder what the loudest voice that we're screaming is. I find in our circles and in our churches many times, and listen, I'm conservative as conservative as it gets. If you knew some of my political views, you probably wouldn't like me. I'm so hard and so right-wing this morning. But can I say this louder than my political views this morning? You know what ought to be my biggest view? My biggest voice is the gospel view. The gospel voice. I mean, what is it that some of us are, we're loud about sports, which I don't understand that. Somebody help me this morning. A bunch of overpaid babies. Wouldn't watch those jokers if you gave me, I wouldn't watch them jokers if you paid me and gave me a thing of chicken wings. Somebody help me this morning. Our voice. What's our voice about? Man, some of us get all crazy about that stuff. NFL, puke on that stuff. Bunch of stink, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'll shut up right now. What's our voice, though? You see what I'm saying? We scream about some of the dumb. We make a big deal about some of the dumb of us. There's people dying and going to hell all around us, man, and many of us haven't even told nobody about what Jesus has done for us. I'm not beating you up. I want you to think. Your neighbors, man. Your coworkers, your friends. Man, we've had 4 funerals in the last 3 weeks. Y'all understand that. I thank God that I could stand up. I didn't have to lie at nobody's funeral. I could say, man, he was saved by the grace of God. Hey, there's something that'll help. Is anybody awake in here? This is a big deal. Obedient to the word of God. Obedient to the Spirit of God. Aren't you thankful that somebody in your life was obedient to it? We know it was God that saved. But it was Paul. Are y'all hearing me? It was Paul that had to be obedient. Man, are you obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Hey, when you go to that gas station and God taps on your shoulder and says, hey, you need to tell that person about Jesus. Man, are you obedient? Hey, when that young person's at your house hanging out with your kids and they have a good time and they're there all the time but they don't go to church anywhere, hey, do you ever just stop? Think about the things of God, that the fact that that kid over there, that teenager's got a soul that may spend eternity in hell if nobody tells him. God's sovereignty does not negate human responsibility. We've been called to preach the gospel. Can I just say this? Churches have lost their stinking way and ever-loving mind today. They've lost it, man. Churches spend more time fighting over stupid stuff that don't matter while the world's dying and going to hell. Puke on that this morning. We've lost our way. It's sickening. It's sad. We wonder why we don't see revival. We're more worried about what kind of music's being played, how people are dressed, all this stuff while the world's dying and going to hell. It's about time we have a revival of some of us that get serious once again about witnessing to somebody. You say, preacher, how do I know where we're at? Let me just ask you, who's the last person you told? Not only must we be obedient to the word of God. And by the way, let me just say this. If you are telling people, you are going to see fruit. If you ain't telling nobody, you ain't. Maybe the reason we hadn't seen no fruit, because we ain't been telling nobody. Man, I look forward to the day where we don't miss a Sunday where some of you walk somebody down this aisle that you spent time with that week, taking a Bible and just showing them, look, Jesus loves you. God cares about you. He wants to forgive you. If you die without him, do y'all believe that this morning? You spend eternity in hell? I believe that this morning. But if you die with him, oh my goodness. Greatest gift that's ever been given. We must be obedient to preach the word of God, Spirit of God. Let me give you these last two. I don't have time to go through all of them. But something that Paul had to understand is here. He had to understand that God's plan was bigger than our plan. Paul wanted a city over there in Asia. God ends up giving him a continent. You know, sometimes what we want may look good, but God may have something so much bigger for us. When God leads you, listen to him, man. I think of Esther. She didn't know how God was going to use her, but God had put her there for such a time as this. Listen, he's put you in your workplace and in your family and in your neighborhood for such a time as this. God wants to use you. God wants to, listen, don't minimize. Y'all look at me. Don't minimize what God wants to use you for. Some of you got some people you work with that drive you nuts. I got a couple. Somebody help me this morning. They do. They get on our nerves. They're vile. They gossip. And we forget sometimes that through God's sovereignty, He placed you in that position, at that job. And can I just remind you, He didn't place you there just to get a paycheck, although that's part of it. He placed you there to be a light, to be a witness, to be Jesus to those people, to share the glorious good news of the gospel with them. You say, preacher, God would never use me to win someone to the Lord. Well, maybe if you tried it, He just might. Remember, it's not our job to save. It's not our job to convince. It's just our job to tell. When they reject it, they ain't rejecting us. And that's the hard part to get over. Man, I don't like rejection. Do you? I don't. Man, I remember the first time Sarah rejected me. I hated it. She hated me when she first met me. Can y'all imagine that? Boys, there's hope. Just keep going after her. Praise God. God's plans are bigger than hers. Amen. But I hate that. We fear rejection. When we share the gospel and they reject, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Him. Our job is just simply to share it. Thirdly, I want you to notice this. We must trust God to give the increase. There's a call for each one of us. Are we obedient to that call? Matthew 9:37. Let me read some verses and we're done this morning. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. That's you. Going into the field, sharing the gospel with people. I like Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If we want to see fruit, we must trust the process. You know what the process is? Number one, it's the call of God, our obedience, and God gives the fruit. If we aren't seeing any fruit, the question I propose is, are we being obedient to the call? In the day and hour we are living in, y'all listen to me, church, we must not get distracted. He's coming back soon. Listen, this thing's almost over. Any day, can I just say this? For some of us, it's a game. For eternity, it will not be. His return is imminent. God has placed people in your life. Each person in your life has an eternal soul. Each individual He has placed in your life at some time will breathe their last breath. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, those in your school. It is not our responsibility to save them, but it is our responsibility to tell them. And it's about time that the church of God gets a burden once again for the souls of men. Are you burdened for it this morning? When's the last time you wept that God would save that person? Some of you have family right now that don't know the Lord. When's the last time you just went into His presence and say, oh God, if it be Your will, save them. Oh God, redeem them. Oh God, change them. Oh God, make a difference. I just believe that God is big enough to do it. That vilest sinner you can think of this morning, I believe His grace is big enough to forgive, to save, to change. You know why I know that? Because He did for me. He did for you. Why wouldn't we want to share that with someone else? Man, let's think about that as we go to the Lord in prayer. As we, you know, if you need a place at the altar will be open in just a minute. But maybe God's burdened somebody this morning in your heart. Maybe you haven't been witnessing like you should. Maybe you haven't been sharing the gospel in a long time. Hey, change that today. Change that tomorrow. Man, share God's love with someone else. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Altar's open if you need a place to pray.